Welcome to Hype episode 85. Way 85. There's no reason to be excited about 85. I'm just excited to be here. My name is Selena and I am here with Pam and Marima to discuss this week's entertainment news. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Kyle was meant to join us today, but his power went out, unfortunately. So it's just going to be the three of us, which should be a lot of fun. We have a pretty packed show this week, mainly about Harry Potter stuff and Gilmore Girls stuff. So it's basically like the news according to like Marima and Pam, which is perfect for you guys. And as a as a recent Gilmore Girls fan who has yet to watch a single episode and yet is a total expert on the show, I'm also excited to talk about Gilmore Girls. But before we get into any of that, I just want to tell you about how you can contact us. As always, if you have any comments about this episode or any other episodes of Hype, you can first of all find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com, which is also where you can find all the most recent entertainment and fandom news stories. You can email us, hype@hypeable.com, and we have some emails to get into later in the show. You can find us on Twitter at hypeablehype, and you can find us on Instagram, hypeablehype. Woo, our Instagram still exists, so go check that out, just because. And also, we want to tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week in our How We Hype section. So let's kick that off with Pam. Oh, and Marima, I guess you can both talk about this.
Sweet. Well, I guess we both saw Grease Live, which was Fox's big live musical spectacular on, when did that air? On the 31st, last Sunday. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty exciting. I always go into these things with a grain of salt because none of them have been like exceptionally good. I think like the best one before this was probably NBC's The Wiz, and that was just like visually really nice to look at. But I feel like Grease Live definitely set the bar way, way high for like any other live production that comes before this. It did a lot of really cool stuff they've never done before in these kind of events. Like, for example, they incorporated a live studio audience in a bunch of the acts. They also filmed a lot of it outside. So there was this big to-do about, oh my gosh, is it going to rain? Is it not going to rain? And it was actually a weekend that LA got a little bit of rain. So they were almost kind of screwed over on that sense, but everything ended up working out. And yeah, I mean, it just kind of, this one specifically kind of proves that, you know, in a live situation, I don't really know what's going to happen because Vanessa Hudgens lost her father 24 hours beforehand and she still went on. So there was all this stuff that kind of was going against it, and they still pulled off a really great performance. I really enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if Marima feels the same, but
oh my god, it was really, really good. Grease as a show, like, I'm not a huge fan of the musical. I know there was a musical before the movie, not a big fan of either, but yeah, I think what they did with this that was so clever, I agree with you, the Wiz was actually great, which was NBC, right? The Wiz was like an actually really good show with really good performers, and unlike the others that they've done, it wasn't sort of a joke that people would hate tweet along with. But what Grease did that the others haven't done is it really embraced the format, and it didn't just try to be like a musical that was being shown live. It, you know, really utilized like camera angles and things, and it just made it, you know, a lot more fun, because I think there's a lot that you can do with something like this that you can't do with a live show. You know, like there was one scene where in Freddie My Love, like they do a close up on the actress's face, and then as they do the close up, she's obviously like getting changed below where the camera can see, and then they pan out again and she's like in this amazing dress, and you know, stuff like that you can't do on stage without some other way to mask it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's also like less exciting if they were just showing the set, as it were, and she like went behind a screen and like came out in a dress. But like, you can do those kinds of fun reveals because you are, you know, it's not a live musical, like, as it were, it's a live TV filmed musical. And the director was actually Tommy Cale, who directed Hamilton. So there was a lot of buzz about like what he was going to do with it. And I think they did a really good job. I mean, I basically watched it for Aaron Tveit, like, to be totally honest.
As you should, because he was amazing.
Yeah, he was so good. But you know, Vanessa Hudgens, like I don't really have an opinion on High School Musical other than I just always thought it was kind of like just kind of dumb. And so I always thought she was a bit lightweight, I guess, because of that. I haven't really seen her in anything else, but she killed it. Like yeah. She was actually genuinely, I mean, outside of the circumstances of her performance, like, she was actually fantastic in that role. I thought she was so, fantastic. So good.
And you, I mean, it's a good thing that you don't, you know, let your, because, I mean, High School Musical was just a thing she did. It was something that she auditioned for and she got the part and she did, you know, whatever with it. But she, as a performer, is fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I just, yeah. I have never really seen her in anything else, but I was, like, really surprised at how good she was. And all the cast was really good. It was nice to see a little more diversity in the casting. Like, the Grease as a show has its problems. But, yeah, it was really fun, actually. I only planned on watching a little bit of it, and then I got totally sucked in. So, yeah, I think they did a great job with it.
Great, well,
I think it's
great.
All online still, right? So you can go and watch it. I think it's on Fox's website.
Yeah, I believe so. And I just want to say one last little thing about it. I think that the reason that it worked really well, too, is that they didn't necessarily try and recreate the movie. They worked off of the stage play version for the live musical.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool because you got to do, like, Freddie, My Love and those magic changes, which was, like, a really, really good number. So props to that guy who did that. I think his name is Jordan Fisher or something, because that was probably one of the best, like, vocal performances of the night. But I think that really helped them a lot. And then they were able to, like, kind of clean it up so that all ages could enjoy it, because that musical's got a lot of really dirty language in it at certain points. And so if you're really familiar with it, you'll notice that they changed certain phrases and certain words and stuff like that. But overall, I think they did a really good job, and it was just really well cast. And I think that that's what made it so nice to watch, because everybody actually came from some kind of, like, dancing background, musical theater background and stuff like that. And that just really helped them put on a great performance.
The only song I didn't like, I have to say, was the new one they did for Carly Rae Jepsen.
It didn't really fit.
But, you know, it kind of, in a way, it kind of fits with the theme of Grease, because Hopelessly Devoted to You was written for the movie. Like, it was added into the movie because Olivia Newton-John, it was part of her contract that she got a big ballad. And so they wrote that in. So, I mean, I guess it was part of Carly Rae Jepsen being involved, where she was like, okay, but, like, I want my own song, because otherwise her character doesn't really have any. So I was like, oh, that's, like, a funny bit of parallel kind of history. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, great. And that's the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for joining. No, wait. This wasn't the Grease Live special. I forgot. So what else have you guys been doing? Marima, you've watched the movie?
Yeah, I saw The Reason I Was Not On last week. I think it was last week I was not. I went and saw Steve Jobs, which I know came out overseas, like, years ago or whatever, but has only just came out in Australia. This is the Michael Fassbender one. Would recommend 100%. It's so, so good. It's the Aaron Sorkin. It's so West Wing. Like, it's so Aaron Sorkin-y and so West Wing, but I love the West Wing, so I really liked it. I get, if you're not into that, how you might not like it. But similarly to Grease, a film that really played with the format. It's kind of written like a play, in, like, a three-act play, which is really interesting, and performances are, like, amazing. And I never thought I would be like, oh, go see this movie about this, like, tortured white genius rich man. But no, like, actually amazing and really interesting. So if you haven't seen that yet, people in Australia where the film has just come out, definitely check it out. I'm sure it's, like, on DVD somewhere else now.
Okay, great. Pam, you have a music recommendation-ish?
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring this up really quick because I feel like it's super relevant. Zayn, who used to be in One Direction, is now solo, released his first single called Pillow Talk, which got a crap load of traction. See how I censored myself? Got a crap load of traction on social media when it came out earlier this week. And it's actually, I was very impressed by it for a single. I thought that he did really well. It wasn't, like, super overproduced. But I do kind of see what he was hinting at when he said he wanted to go more R&B, because it's very much got, like, an Usher-like vibe to it. And the music video is, like, super provocative, and it stars his new girlfriend / model / Taylor Swift's BFF, Gigi Hadid. And so if you're interested in that, go check that out. The song is actually pretty good. And he's set to release an acoustic version, which is probably going to be even better than the actual track he recorded for the album sometime this week. So keep an eye out for that if you're interested.
Great. And that leads into our... That was funny. I just heard my own like echo on one of your sounds, and I was like, oh my god, that's awful. Let me try that again. Great, everyone. It's time to get into the news. I should just become like Micah Tannenbaum and forget about my own squeaky voice. So we have a lot to get through this week, mainly J.K. Rowling cinematic universe themed, I guess, if that's a thing. So first of all, J.K. Rowling, much to Andrew's delight and people around the world, has announced that there are, like, I think 7 or 8 more wizarding schools, but 4 of them now have names and locations and descriptions. Now I'm going to start with the most important one, which is, of course, the one in Brazil. That one is called Castelo Bruxo, I believe. Bruxo? I'm not sure. Pam, can you help me out?
I don't know. That's more Portuguese, but let me see what I can do here.
You're better than me, that's for sure.
Castelo Brujo? Castelo Brujo. That makes sense because castle and then Brujo in Spanish is witch or warlock. Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm sure it's like,
we're like
that.
Pam, token person, say this word.
So it was like Brujo. No.
You know what? When we get a Swedish or a Norwegian suite and you guys ask me to read it, I don't complain, okay? So.
That's okay. That's all that matters.
Anyone tweets us in Australian, I will happily read it.
Yes.
Native Australian school is, yes.
That is actually another one coming, an Australian one. We have confirmed that from J.K. Rowling, which is exciting. But Castelo Brujo is guarded by Caipora, which are small and furry spirit beings who emerge at night to watch over the students and the creatures who live in the forest. Now, the next important one is the African school of Ouagadou, I guess, which is carved out of the mountainside and is shrouded in so much mist that it appears to float in midair. Many African witches and wizards cast spells simply by pointing their fingers or through hand gestures, which means they do wandless magic, which means that they are probably the most advanced wizards in the world, which I think is fantastic. And also their school sounds really cool, and this is definitely the one I would go to. The Japanese wizarding school is called Mahuto Koro. Please send us your voice pronunciations of any of these 4, by the way, because this is so embarrassing for me. Pam, just do them all.
Do them all in Spanish.
So roll the R. That's all it is. That's all it takes.
Okay, so the Japanese wizarding school is Mahuto Koro, where students are given enhanced robes, which grow in size as they age. Another characteristic of the robes is that they gradually change color as the learning of their wearer increases, beginning a faint pink color and becoming gold if the student receives top grades in every magical subject. So, robe magic, also very cool. And now I guess we have one more left, which isn't as cool as the other ones, but okay, whatever. I guess America, the continent, gets a school as well. I'm sorry, I'm totally trolling because Andrew has been just promoting the hell out of this school and completely ignoring the other ones. So, there you go. So, the North American school is Ilvermorny, as Pam would say. And
exactly. I just masked my real accent for the show.
So this one is based on, appears to be located in the, Andrew says, the northeast corner of the United States. A lot of our commenters, in fact, say Canada. We don't really know anything about Ilvermorny yet, so naturally, you know, it's the coolest one, according to Andrew. So these are all very fun. And in related news, I learned that Durmstrang is actually located in Scandinavia, which confused me because their school, like the inhabitants of their school are all sort of appear to be Eastern European, but whatever.
So, what?
I know.
It's in Scandinavia?
Natalie said it was like in the northest part of Scandinavia. I had no idea.
Interesting. Oh, so you would be at Durmstrang?
Yeah, you'd be at Durmstrang.
They don't take, like, what's it called? Like, Muggleborn. So I guess this explains everything, why I didn't get my letter.
So, oh my god, so true.
You could have traveled by pirate ship. How cool would that be?
I know. Ah, Durmstrang. No, sorry, no. I'll go to
Wow.
Ouagadougou instead. That sounds cooler. So yeah, so four new wizarding schools. There's another one coming in Australia, and there's like three or four more yet to be announced. What do you guys think? Exciting times.
I mean, why are they all just translations of like magic place or whatever? That's what I'm reading in the comments. Like that they mean like wizard castle and magic place. Like,
And then Hogwarts had to be
what?
something weird because Magic Castle would have been lame.
Yeah, like Hogwarts is just like, why aren't, I don't know. That just seems a little lazy to me, I guess. It can't, you know, this is one of those times where I just feel like she's just making this up as she goes. Like, she doesn't
Yeah.
know any of this.
She doesn't know
And
any
again,
of the real
that's our
stuff.
Ilver Morny, whatever. What does that mean? Is that Latin for something that I'm just like
Someone
completely
says
oblivious?
the American one means liver money.
But
Is the American one meant to be like Native American? Like, is it meant to have some?
I don't think so.
I'm genuinely don't know.
Yeah,
Because that
well,
would
she
make sense to
said,
me.
I think she said for when people were asking about Fantastic Beasts that they were gonna like knew it was gonna discover that a lot of like Native American witchcraft was a component of like North American wizardry.
Oh,
So that
okay, yeah.
makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
Okay.
it's so funny to me that people are complaining about the name Ilvermorny, where like you literally had to get used to Hogwarts, like the warts of a hog. Like, let's get real,
Yeah,
that was
but
the worst.
we were younger
It's
and
true.
much more
It's kind of
imaginative.
like it's like when like we were on Rewatchable and some of the newbies were like, oh my God, who like ever calls their kid Cordelia? And I was like, Hermione? Like, you know, we get used to this stuff.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a similar situation. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I sort of this is the kind of stuff that I would have liked to see in an encyclopedia. So part of
Right.
me is excited to see it, part of me is just kind of sad.
Like, yeah, we've talked about this before. Like, this is the kind of stuff where, like, I just kind of don't care because it's
Yeah,
on
it's
Pottermore.
just words on the
Like,
internet, you know, it doesn't
yeah,
mean anything.
the virtue of the medium is like it makes me care less about
Yeah.
it versus if it was in a bound book, I would be like, oh my God, guys, like, did you read about this thing? But just because it's like words on Pottermore, I'm like, oh, she's just making it up as she goes, which is fine. Like, I get that that's kind of the job description, but. You know, sometimes it feels more obvious than other times. But maybe I'm just bitter because they haven't announced the Australian school yet. So I'll wait for that one.
Yeah. I was thinking, I thought that she was just gonna say that in Australia the wizards are homeschooled. And I was all ready to be outraged on your behalf. So at least you're getting a
Oh,
school.
God. That so is what would
I
happen.
know. That is what would really happen. But then
I
again, they have
mean,
magic to transport, so.
It was like when they announced Nomadge and everyone was like, but you know, that makes no sense. And then they were like, what would that be in Australia? And it's like the equivalent of like what you would say in Australia cannot be said on this podcast. But I was like, yeah, no, I could, yeah. Like, just thinking about that in an Australian context is just very funny because
Yeah.
it's very separate. But I mean, the Australian one should have like Indigenous influence for sure,
Yeah,
like
definitely.
the school. So I hopefully that it does when she announces it. Maybe she's trying to find a translation for
Wizard school, and she's like,
wizard
why isn't
school.
this working? It just
Yeah,
says wizard school.
she can't decide which of the Indigenous languages to translate. That must be the hold up.
Yeah. So this is exciting news, and we'll keep you guys updated as we learn about more schools. So staying in the Potterverse, this is something that I just really need to talk about and sort of get through. So this guy called Rupert Grint, who was like at one point played Ron Weasley in some movies, apparently thinks he has the, you know, the audacity to make a claim about the future of Ron and Hermione, one of the best book couples of all time. Do not argue with me, I will fight you. So Rupert Grint was at the sort of Harry Potter Wizard World celebration, and he told a shocked interviewer and a shocked Ivana Lynch that he said, I would expect that Ron has probably divorced Hermione already. I don't think that relationship would have done very well. And I just have one word for Mr. Rupert Grint, and that is projection. You are not your character, and you, like, this is not okay, and the movies are not the books, and this is so dumb, and I'm so mad, and I'm refusing to accept this. The end.
Didn't J.K. Rowling already say this?
No, I think those comments were taken out of context, weren't they? She just said that they had issues, which makes sense.
I don't think they were. But anyway, I mean, who cares what Rupert Grint thinks? He
I
didn't write the
know.
books.
Yeah,
Next.
exactly. And it's like Elphaba Trop in the comments has a good comment. She said, "Movie Ron and Hermione, definitely. Book Ron and Hermione, no." And I agree. I
Yeah,
think we're so quick
exactly.
to, yeah, it's
Movie Ron and
quick.
Hermione were totally different characters, and Ron was terrible. So,
Yeah.
yeah, Hermione would have divorced Ron after like a
Yes.
hot second in the movies for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like it didn't work on screen. The relationship was not done well on screen, and it wasn't as bad as Harry and Ginny, but it was pretty bad. So,
I mean, Ron was essentially not a character in the
exactly,
films at all,
exactly.
so, why would anyone
Yeah.
marry him?
Yeah. So that's just the
Yeah.
books is a different story. So I think Elphaba Trop has a good point. I will accept this.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. We'll keep going with our Harry Potter movies for our next story. We move over to Fantastic Beasts. We had some behind the scenes footage. We got another synopsis and we got to see some of the cast talking about their characters. I mean, they didn't really say anything hugely exciting, but it's just really fun to see them filming, and they talked a little bit about I guess, a little more in depth about the characters and what they might be doing. Like Jacob is a baker, it seems. He's like opening a bakery, which just seems
That's
funny for some
amazing to
reason.
me. That's
Yeah,
amazing. He's like
I don't know why
Nikita
that's so
of
funny.
Fantastic
Yeah.
Beasts. That's why.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah, and he's the first nomad, the first non-magical main character. So I think he's kind of the most interesting character for now because he's the most different. But yeah, I just am like, a baker, really? Okay. Anyway, so we now know that it's set in 1926, which I don't think we knew before. We knew 1920s. I mean, similar things like Eddie Redmayne talks about the him arriving, and then that's the catalyst for all of the creatures to get out of the suitcase, and we saw all of this in the teaser trailer, etc. I mean, look, I'm very excited about this. As everyone knows, I'm very excited about Fantastic Beasts, and I was genuinely really excited, especially to see Eddie Redmayne talk about Newt and what we can expect from that. But it's set in 1926. That's like the peak of the Harlem Renaissance. There is no reason for everyone to be white, and I will never be over this. It makes no sense. It's willfully incorrect and ignorant. And every time they remind me of the time period, I'm like, oh, just frustration. But aside from that, it looks fun. I mean, it looks good. But I feel like I can't not mention that. But I mean, whatever.
Oh, good point. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing, when you say, oh, well, there are non-white people in the movie because the Minister of Magic is a person of color
Yeah,
woman, but and
and
that's
that's
great, but
great.
she's not a main character, so
Right, and it's one person. The criticism is actually, if they're setting it in this time period, really yes, a main character, but also a lot of the people that they're just interacting with on a daily basis should be African American. Depending on where in New York they are, but assuming they're in the fun bits. yeah. 'Cause I really want to see Newt running through a jazz club and stuff.
Yeah,
So,
but we might still get that. We'll have to wait
Yeah, I
and
was
see.
gonna say
Yeah.
we don't know if that's gonna be the case.
Of
But at the same
course.
time,
Yeah, of
it's
course.
not okay that all those people are secondary characters and stuff like that. You
Right.
know, there's a lot
Yeah.
of directors, writers and stuff that always talk about how unfair that is,
Yeah.
but
Yeah. The only annoying thing about the footage is they're obviously being very careful about what they're showing. We keep seeing Newt filming the same scene, like running down the street in that coat.
I
You know,
also
he's
think they
old
haven't
school.
filmed that much more, have they? So,
No, I think they're basically done, aren't
oh, are
they?
they? Oh, I have no
I thought
idea.
they had basically wrapped.
Oh.
But don't quote me on that. But yeah, they seem to be. We keep seeing them all in the same outfits and doing the same stuff from the teaser. So they're keeping it all kind of under wraps. Or maybe it'll just be he wears the same outfit for the whole thing and it just gets
Maybe. Yeah,
dirtier and
yeah,
dirtier.
yeah.
But I hope not.
That's very movie, though, isn't it? So that's probably what's going to happen.
One really stressful day the whole film takes place on.
One final piece of Harry Potter news before we're going to move on is according, this is a rumor. I just wanted to bring it up as a rumor. It's probably, who knows if it's true or not, but Andrew brought it up for the site, so I figured we should talk about it on Hype, which is that allegedly, according to a fandom website called The Rowling Library, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the stage play adaptation penned partly by J.K. Rowling, is apparently the subject of a bidding war, quote unquote, where publishers are trying to nab the rights for what is presumably the script. And this in itself is not news. I mean, the script is going to come out eventually, but it's interesting that the script might actually come out in the near future, because of course the play is running until like 2018 or something like that, and might even be extended. So the worry from fans was that we wouldn't get like the book, the script version of it until then. It's not going to be a book, I don't think, unless J.K. Rowling is planning on like surprising us all. But this is fun. I mean, I will be excited to read the script. And as Andrew says on the site, like, as soon as the first people have gone to see the show, the internet will be full of spoilers anyway. So they might as well, if they want to control the information in that way.
I mean, I was actually talking about this before we started recording, and I kind of think what they will do if they are smart is like let it run for like 6 months, because there'll be things that, you know, you like need to experience in person, like there'll be effects or like special things they do or whatever, you know, to make you go and see it. And then if they're smart, they'll film it and then do like the live screenings like they do for National Theatre and things like that. And then after all of that and everyone's like paid to see the screening, or they've flown to London to see it and they've like bought the DVD and et cetera, then they'll release the script or like the book. Or, you know, often with these kinds of things, they release the script, but then it has like, you know, behind the scenes stuff in it too, like from the actors or from J.K. Rowling. Like they did that for the History Boys and things like that, which is like a cool thing to own. Then people will buy that again, because they'll be like, no, we're not publishing anything. Like, you have to go and see it live. That'll be the only chance. And like, wait till it tours. And then they'll be like, haha, just kidding. Now buy this as well. So yeah, I think they'll definitely do this, but I imagine they'll hold off for as long as possible. But it's a fine line, because like you said, spoilers are going to be on the internet ASAP.
Yeah, for sure. Hypebol will be publishing headlines of what happened. No.
We'll be releasing the script transcribed from the play.
Yes.
Everyone will have a certain section.
This is why so many of us are going. We'll all get a character. Yeah. And we'll...
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? That would be hilarious. Yes. Everybody needs a typewriter, because like nobody can use laptops in the theater.
Or like we'll all have to learn shorthand before that.
Yeah, I was about to say. We're all doing shorthand calls.
Okay, so that's fun. We'll again keep you updated as we learn more on that. And that's the end of our Harry Potter news segment. Hey!
Woo! So let's get started on something that Merriman and I are going to be really excited to talk about. We kind of already knew this, but Netflix has finally officially confirmed that Gilmore Girls is a go, so we will be getting these 4 90-minute episodes that we've been promised since kind of like around like summer, fall, we kind of first heard about this. So now everybody can officially talk about it. It's really exciting because we kind of know who's coming back. So Alexis Bledel and Lauren Graham, who play Lorelai and Rory, are coming back. And Kelly Bishop's coming back. She plays Emily Gilmore. And Luke's coming back. And Lane's coming back. And Kirk's coming back. And it's just shaping up to be a really magical experience from the sounds of it. A bunch of the cast have been doing interviews and stuff. So like Kelly Bishop just did one. And she talked about how everybody's going to be really excited when they find out what Paris has been doing. So we kind of know that Liz Torres is coming back as well. So it's just a really fun time to be alive. And I know Selena is going to get on this train very, very soon.
Yay, Kelly Bishop's my favorite character. Woo! Yeah, I'm excited for being excited.
Well, I am so excited. I am excited with you, Pam.
I know you are. I know. We've been talking for ages.
Yeah, we basically have a group text that's just Pam and I freaking out over Gilmore Girls and Selena being confused. So, we basically knew all of this, but it's always really exciting to get like the confirmation that it's happening. And Lauren Graham like tweeted with her stolen jacket that, you know, she was going back. And I was like, oh, it's so, because I still kind of can't believe that it's happening. Like, it just feels really surreal. Gilmore Girls is such a, I mean, I think, Pam, it's like your favorite show, and it's definitely in my top, like, yeah. I don't know, three favorite shows.
And that's what it is for me too. And so yeah. it's one of those things where it's so nice to like live in a time where stuff like this can happen and fans can actually have an influence over showrunners. And, you know, that is amazing because it so seldom happens. It's something that's never happened before. And now we're kind of seeing it start to happen, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah. And it feels a little surreal because, you know, Gilmore Girls didn't end the way that fans would have liked it to end. Cause obviously, the creator was not involved in the final season, and like, that's less than ideal. So it just always felt like something that was not quite finished. Like we just didn't quite get closure, but you know, you kind of accept that that happens with lots of shows. And so it just feels like amazing that it's actually going to like get the ending that, you know, hopefully we all enjoy, but you know, the ending that it should have had maybe initially, or I don't know, it feels really weird. I feel like I'm so excited about this, but it's just one of those things it rarely happens where just like everything works out. You know, the thing that you really want to happen in fandom often basically never happens. But yeah, it's kind of amazing. Although it's not all, you know, amazing and excitement, because we did hear this week that Melissa McCarthy is apparently not going to be involved. And it's a bit weird because, Amy Sherman-Palladino, who is the creator, she did an interview where she said basically that McCarthy is too busy, but they have said to her like, hey, if you're free for a day or something, you know, we'll write you a scene, we'll like write an explanation for what Suki's been up to, etc. But then someone tweeted at Melissa McCarthy and she said, thanks for the invite, but sadly no one has asked me or Suki to come back to Stars Hollow. So that's weird. And a little surprising, I guess people are wondering if like there's maybe something more to that, because like, yeah, she is really busy, but I kind of can't imagine that she couldn't get away to do like one scene or something, you know, especially as it's such a big deal. And, you know, she's gone on to have great success and that's great. And, you know, I'm sure Gilmore Girls fans are following her in her career as well. But, you know, it kind of started with Gilmore Girls, and it would be really sad. She was such a huge part of that show.
I mean,
and yeah.
I was going to say, as a Gilmore Girls fan, I am outraged by this, by the way, just so you all know. She's my favorite character, Snooki, the chef, yeah, as I thought her name was. no, but I did actually read a TV Line interview with Amy Sherman-Palladino just because it popped up on my Facebook, and she basically said, look, we've reached out to her people. She's super busy. If she wants to come back, like just for an afternoon, I'll write her a scene because she's part of the family and we would love to have her back. So right. I think it's like a thing of wires being crossed here, you know?
Yeah, but that's like, that's what this article is saying. Like, that's what she's saying. But then Melissa McCarthy's saying, well, no one's contacted me. So, you know. I don't know. It seems like more than just a miscommunication or like an oversight, because she was, as you will see, new Gilmore Girls fan, when you actually watch the show, she was like a very big part of the show. And I'm sure she would have been one of the people that they contacted, you know, near the start when they thought that this might be happening. So I don't know, but we will see. Hopefully whatever is happening, they can sort it out and like we can get her back for, you know, a day, or like she says, just have her in a scene.
If they could do it for like Wet Hot American Summer with all those big actors, you know, Netflix could do it, I think.
Yeah.
If anyone could do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Still exciting about the revival, though. I was for sure, I thought it was already, you guys are talking about it like it was already happening. So I was very confused by the announcement.
It was, but like, it wasn't everyone was saying, yeah, it's happening. And Netflix was saying like, it's happening. But no one had said officially like, okay, we're actually doing this now, you know? So yeah. Are we announcing our thing or are we?
Oh yeah. Do it.
Oh, Exciting.
We should have drum rolls playing now.
Yeah. Oh.
We're ending hype. No.
Yeah. We're starting a Gilmore Girls podcast, kind of. So we kind of had a little soft reveal, I guess, in an article that Selena wrote this week, which everyone should go and read, which was everything that she knows about Gilmore Girls, which she has basically absorbed through Pam's and my discussions and just the internet in general. And it's very funny. That we on Hype, we kind of started out as a joke that I was like, hey, when Gilmore Girls starts, I think we should just start a Hype, like a special series of just Gilmore Girls. Let's just become a Gilmore Girls podcast. Okay, great. Like, cool. And then Pam was like, no, but like, let's do that. So we're going to totally do a Gilmore Girls rewatch. You know, we have a podcast dedicated, obviously, Selena is on, to rewatching an episode like week by week. We're not going to do that. But what we are going to do is a series of Gilmore Girls rewatches leading up to the Netflix premiere, which we don't know when it is yet. And we'll do like one season per special, right? So we're going to rewatch a season of Gilmore Girls. And Selena's going to watch it with us, which is going to be really fun because she has never seen it before. So we'll have the newbie. It's going to be totally spoiler-free if you haven't seen it before. And we're going to, you know, watch a season and then, like, talk about it and get excited and get back into that Gilmore Girls headspace. And then, of course, when the Netflix specials air, we'll be doing Hype specials about those as well, because basically Pam and I are going to milk this for as many Gilmore Girls pretty specials
as we literally can. Everyone.
So pretty much you guys are going to get like over 10 episodes of Gilmore goodness.
And if you guys right now are just like, oh my god, I'm unsubscribing, just remember I am also not a fan. I have no idea what's happening right now. I'm excited by your excitement. You don't have to download the Gilmore Girls episode if you don't want to.
It's going to be a Hype special, except it's going to be a series of Hype specials. So we'll still have the regular show going on week by week. These will just be, as soon as we get like a finite date for the Netflix premiere, we'll just gradually start releasing our specials as we go.
And I'll be doing the event, competing the 100 specials, and then we'll see who gets the most listeners. So
Little competition.
Except I'm on both, so it doesn't matter.
You're just turning this into 100 podcasts. What are you doing, like one a week?
No, I was actually, that thought did cross my mind. But no, we had so much great feedback on our the special we did, so we're gonna try to do some throughout the season, but not like every week.
Yeah, so the Gilmore Girls one, it won't be, like Pam said, it's not going to be replacing the regular show, and it's not going to be replacing the specials that we do. So there'll still be other things happening. But like we said, this is a really exciting time, and it just so happens that there are two like ultra diehard Gilmore Girls fans on this podcast. Yes. And now we're dragging Selena with us.
So yeah,
exactly.
Very excited about this. And we're excited to announce it because we've been talking about it for a long time. So hopefully you guys want to do the rewatch with us, or like, you know, you can let us know.
Or it's just a good refresher too. Like if you don't have time to do the rewatch, then you can, or if you like not planning to watch Gilmore Girls at all, but you're still interested in this whole, because it's getting a rewatch, just check out the specials and you'll be in the know.
You'll be all prepped for the Netflix revival.
Yeah. And you'll know important things like the name of Melissa McCarthy's character.
Yes, which we will reveal on the podcast.
Exactly. You cannot
find it out until then.
High podcast exclusive.
For me, it is. That's fun. So that's very exciting. And we'll let you guys know exactly when we're recording that new episode, unless we already know. Did we decide? February sometime?
We'll let you
sometime.
Know.
Yeah,
we'll let you know. It'll be relatively soon.
And then you can send in your comment. So if you already know you have a comment for it, just send it in to us via email, hype@hypeable.com, and mark it like Gilmore Girls.
Also, mark
spoilers.
And also, if you could, sorry, I know, guys, this is a lot of rules, but since we'll be doing one special per season, if you want to put like Gilmore Girls season insert here in the subject line, that way we'll know where your comments are supposed to go. We'll make sure to read those as we go through the season.
Yeah, and because we don't want Selena to get spoiled later.
So Selena's not going to be able to read any of those.
Guys, I already know everything. Like, post.
Like how Luke has a disease that makes a baseball cap be permanently stuck to his head. We know.
Yes.
Damn it.
That's always on that head.
How did you figure out the biggest secret?
I know. I don't know. I'm just that clever when it comes to television. Yeah. I can figure it all out. Like this, there's something about a boat. I know that. I'm so excited for the boat.
So you must know about this new Nickelodeon thing that's going on then, since you are all-knowing being. Get ready, 90s kids. Because Nickelodeon is working on a super movie that's going to give you all the nostalgic feels. Deadline is reporting that it's going to be like a super movie, literally a super movie. So you're going to see characters from Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy, Rocker's Modern Life, Real Monsters, and the Angry Beavers, among just a few of these characters, are going to be popping up in this. And this is being helmed by Jared and Jerusha Hess, who created Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre. So it's definitely going to be some kind of comedy here. And I mean, it's going to be really fun for kids. But of course, if you're a fan of these shows from back in the day, then you're probably going to want to keep an eye on this. So if you want to read more about that, you can head over to HiBeeble.com and we've got a bit more information about that. There's no set date for anything that's going to, you know, like when it'll be released or anything like that in theaters. But at least it's happening. So if you're into that, then that's great.
I didn't have those channels when I was little. So, but I'm excited that you're excited. So this is something that I hope someone can fill me in a little bit more on, because Neil Gaiman's American Gods is currently on my desk under all the other books I have to read. But what is exciting for me, potentially also horrible, is that the 100 star Ricky Whittle has joined the TV adaptation of American Gods as main character Shadow Moon, which is cool for Neil Gaiman fans and worrying for the 100 fans. I like that the post on Hypeable, Brittany was writing it up, and all of the 100 fans on Hypeable were like, do you have to mention Lincoln and the 100? Oh my god. So like, that's basically like half the post. Yeah, we don't know what this means for Lincoln and the 100. It's very possible they can shoot both, but being the main character in one show and being a main character in another show is a big commitment. And Lincoln has been floating for a while in uncertain territory, so I'm worried. But let's not talk about the 100. This is a story about American Gods. So what do you guys think? Have you read it?
I have not. I keep meaning to.
Me
because
too.
I love Neil Gaiman. It's, you know, I don't know, it's just one of those books that's like passed me by, but I actually really do want to read it now, because the series is being written, as it's being created by Brian Fuller, who I love dearly. Creator of Pushing Daisies and Hannibal, and, you know, amazing products that ended too soon. Mm-hmm. Netflix, if you're listening, there would be some more things to revive. But yeah, I haven't read it, but I know there are like some really big fans on Hypeable, and people are like really, really excited about this. So I really should get onto that. Like you, I think it's sitting in a... oh God, now I don't even know where it's sitting because I'm in the middle of moving, but it's in a box somewhere. I might just have to get another coffee and check this out. But like, do they know when filming is starting and all of that? Like,
No, they've only cast one of the cast. So I imagine it will be a while. April.
Maybe like they can work it around the 100 or...
They can,
you know,
if they really want to, but the question
otherwise it's
is
a
if
big spoiler.
Yes,
that's always, I always feel funny about like big casting things like this, because you always feel like, oh, but this other thing that they're in, mm-hmm. are they not? Oh, I guess they're not going to be in that next season. Okay, mm-hmm. good to know. Like that's yeah. So,
and I'm with again, they could very possibly work it out, and this is not a confirmation of anything. But knowing what the character is and what his role is in the show right now, and the fact that we know like a main character is probably going to get killed off soon, the odds are not in Lincoln's favor, let's just put it that way. But I don't know, I'm still like, he's not my confession, he's not my absolute favorite character in the 100, so it better him than certain other people. But that would still be very sad, because he is a part of the like show's supposedly biggest love story. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, though it might be fun to shake up that dynamic. And yeah, now maybe I might have to move American Gods up my list. It might have to be my book for March.
Exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, something else maybe we could do a hype special about. I don't know. I'm just saying theater is fun. We have heard that James Corden is going to be hosting the Tony Awards this year. Very exciting. Of course, he himself has won a Tony, so he knows what's it about. He has been hosting The Late Late Show, which, like, I know I said when that other guy, the guy with the robot, what's his name, who used to host it? That was terrible. Like, that was so not a good show.
Craig Ferguson. But
Craig Ferguson. Yes, I've already erased him from my brain. Him and his weird robot. That was a terrible show. But James Corden is really fun. Like, he does the karaoke thing, which I am obsessed with. The Adele one was, like, the greatest thing I've ever seen. So, you know, he has a really fun vibe and he does a lot of really fun things. So he could be a good fit. And, you know, it's basically going to be James Corden and, like, the cast of Hamilton, I guess, because they're going to win, like, literally every award. Yeah. So maybe we could do, like, the car karaoke with the cast of Hamilton. Oh, my God. Then my brain would actually explode. Yeah. So the Tonys are June 12th. They're on CBS. So obviously, you know, they're making the most of their new star. Same network. But I think it's a really good fit. It's nice to see someone other than Neil Patrick Harris hosting things. So that's good, too.
Yeah, this is exciting. I like James Corden. I'm happy about this.
Yeah, me too.
And our final news story?
Yeah, so I figured this week I would pick all the nostalgia factor type stories. So Elizabeth Banks has been cast in the upcoming Power Rangers reboot. It's just going to hit theaters in 2017. And I just really loved this because she clearly got into character when she announced this on Twitter to all of her fans. She captioned her photo, "After 10,000 years, I'm free. It's time to conquer the Earth," which, of course, was the line that her character, Rita Repulsa, says at the beginning of the intro for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers TV show from the 90s. So that was pretty cool that she really got into that. And it just kind of sounds from the synopsis that they're really going to kind of follow like the original. There's been like so many Power Rangers TV shows now. They're like, they've done like Turbo, Ninja, all that crap. And they're kind of going back to their roots now. So that should be fun. And yeah, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on this, but I just thought it would be fun to bring up on the show.
Yay. I don't know.
Yeah. I like her. I don't get why people are mad. Why are so many people mad about this?
I don't know. But, like, I know that it's, like, superficial, but she kind of, like, looks like, you know, she has similar facial features from what I remember to the Rita of the 90s. So I don't know why people would be upset about that either. But I'm not, like, the biggest Power Ranger fan, but I did grow up with brothers. So Power Rangers were a huge, huge hit in my house.
Did you have to be the pink one?
I did have to be the pink one all the time.
Gender stereotypes.
I know.
Anyway,
what if I wanted to be like the Red Ranger?
I know.
Nobody cares.
Or like the blue one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would be the blue
green one.
He's like evil.
Can we make up a full team?
And
can
then
we make Kyle the pink one?
How many are there?
Rangers. There's five, right?
Oh.
There's the,
what colors
there's
are
the,
they?
There's red, blue, pink, yellow, and black. There's five.
Oh.
And then green. Green comes in later.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to
like
be
Mama.
The
no, she was
green
here from the
interloper.
Beginning.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah, came in later.
It did come in later.
Yeah.
Perfect. It doesn't right. work,
well,
but I want to be the blue one, so that's
right.
settled.
Hey, no one's arguing with the blue one.
Yeah,
you're like so insistent on this thing that no one's disagreeing
with.
I claimed
it. Like, correlate to each color, because that I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah
but everyone gets a dinosaur, so there you go.
Oh, well, that's a plus.
Yes,
that
exactly.
makes it better. So yay, Elizabeth Banks, and yay to our impromptu Power Rangers assignment. Write into us and tell us which Power Rangers.
Yeah, if you're a Power Rangers super fan, we want to know, like, who would we each be?
Yeah, sort us into
yes.
the houses of Power Rangers.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, is that a thing? Yeah.
I think so.
Know.
It's going to be
and
a thing now.
And you get extra points if you make someone else the blue one that isn't
No.
Selena.
Right.
Okay, then I want to be the black one if I can't be the blue one. That's okay.
I want to be the pink one. No, I don't. All right. Anyway. Moving on, surely.
Yes, moving on. The news are done and there are no more, but we do have a couple of stories we just wanted to bring up really quickly that you can find on Hypeable.com if you want more entertainment news. There was a trailer for Jojo Moyne's Me Before You, which is getting a lot of attention, also because of the cast is Sam Claflin and Emilia Clarke. So, I mean, we'll all be watching it for sure. and you can find that trailer on hypebeeple.com. Alan Rickman, who of course passed away, which was just, we're all still reeling from that. He has a final performance. Technically, one of his final performances is that he narrates Alice through the Looking Glass, and you can hear that in a Super Bowl TV spot. And Gwendolyn Christie confirmed officially that Captain Phasma will be back for Star Wars Episode 8. So that is great. I'm glad to hear that, because I was kind of worried because she fell down a trash chute. But I guess she went to the Skywalker School of Escaping Trash Chutes because she made it out. So all is well. And that probably wraps up the news. So let us move on to TV show of the week. We all have stuff to talk about. And let's start with everyone's favorite show. And Pam, I don't know why it's not on your list. It should be. It's Agent Carter.
Woo! I've never seen it.
Pam, you're lying.
Pam. She is like your aesthetic.
No, she is. I'm waiting for it to come on Netflix. It just hasn't. It's so sad.
It's not. It's on my Netflix.
It's not on my Netflix.
Oh, my God.
Like, Pam, trust me, you will love this. I love this. You will love it.
I know. We will love this show. We are a we. You're not a...
we are a we. Yeah.
100%. I'm going to watch it. I want to so badly. It's just one of those things I'm just...
Well, there's only like 8 episodes of the season 1. Just catch up.
It's a great show to binge because it's so chill and wonderful.
If it's on Hulu Plus, I'm totally going to watch it this weekend.
Well, this is a good time to catch up because the second season is really kicking off. We just had the fourth episode a couple of days ago, and it was one of the best the show has ever had. I wouldn't go so far as saying it's the best episode the show has ever had. I know that a lot of people are saying that, but we finally got some insight into Peggy's past. We got some really cool story parallels, and we also got to explore the past of the villain, which, like, very rarely happens. So I really appreciated seeing that. Peggy in LA and Jarvis and Sousa and Wilkes and that whole team and the Flamingo, it's just, it's all good. And Peggy kicks ass in the most wish fulfillment kind of way. She is the Buffy of the 40s America, LA, and it's perfect. It's beautiful. I love all of it. The end.
Yeah, the fourth episode was awesome. I am just loving this season, and I just missed her so much. Yeah. And so I just watch these. I don't know if this is a general experience, but I basically just watch the episodes with like a huge grin on my face. Yeah. Just being like, Peggy is awesome. Billy Atwell is awesome. I love Jarvis. Like, I love Dominic Cooper when he's in it. Mm-hmm. I like Sousa. Chad Michael Murray is still the worst thing ever. And like, it's just so good. It just looks so beautiful. The music is so good. Also, I am really loving, without getting too like historical nerd on this, I am loving the new focus of season two, where like season one was all about Peggy dealing with like being a woman after the war and like, you know, kind of all the men came back to their jobs and how she like navigated that. And season two is much more about, which makes sense because it's in Hollywood, like the anti-communist mania that like gripped America in that time, and especially gripped Hollywood in that time. Like, they referenced the Hollywood 10 in the most recent episode, and I was like applauding like, oh my god, history. But no, it's just, it's such a fun approach, and I just don't have any complaints about this show. Like, I just love everything about it. It's just so fun. It's actually the only TV show that I'm watching right now. Like, I'm literally watching nothing else except every week I go like, oh, like a new Agent Carter.
Yeah, so that's definitely like such an uncomplicated pleasure to watch a new episode of Agent Carter.
Exactly. And it's also not like, you know, sometimes you have shows like that and they're kind of guilty pleasures, or they're like, oh, it's just kind of light and enjoyable. But like, Agent Carter is just genuinely a really solidly great show. Like, it's just, everything is really good. The production value is really high. There's a lot of like kind of subtext going on always, and the acting is great. And it's just also like really enjoyable. You know, things don't have to be like gritty and horrible and like murders and death and all of this stuff. I mean, you know, there's some of that, but but mostly it's like, okay, now we're going to wear fun dresses and like be spies and play like spy music and drink martinis and like solve crime. And you're like, yay, I love Peggy.
I mean, and so, again, it's so fun. To be honest, I mean, I know I say this a lot, but I think that a show like this that would not have existed without Buffy, because there's so much Buffy in this, like this uncomplicated feminism and this just her attitude and the way she does puns when she like kicks people and stuff. Like it's obviously updated and it's obviously has a higher production value and all of that. But I definitely, because I'm obviously rewatching it right now and I see such obvious parallels between these two characters, not just because they're women, but because of the way they act and the way they talk about themselves and they talk about the world. And it's just, it's really nice. I love this type of show. And I'm so glad that it exists on TV, because it kind of, there aren't a lot of shows like that out there right now, but Agent Carter is doing such a good job without hitting us over the head with it, but still being unapologetically just badass.
Can we do an Agent Carter special?
Yes, let's do it.
Because I really need to talk about this like in depth, and I'm kind of gritting my teeth right now to stop myself from like going crazy. But there's so much to talk about. Mm-hmm, Pam, you have to watch it before.
You have to watch it.
I will, just so I can be on the special.
Yes,
there's your homework.
Good.
Perfect.
And so I'm kind of like, I'm not watching a lot of shows right now, but I do sort of have a trio of shows that I think I'm going to keep up with, because I fell out with the Lucifer, unfortunately. That didn't really hook me. The 100 is happening every week, and last week's episode was so good, and I write recaps up on Hypeable so you can read about it. There's this whole thing happening with Jah and the City of Light right now, which I actually am more and more intrigued by. I know not a lot of fans agree with that, but I think it's interesting, and it'll take our characters to interesting places. A new episode for me is airing later today. So that, I mean, I can't really, I wish we recorded at a different time so I could talk about that, but I can't. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. And you can read about it on hypeable.com. And then I'm also watching Legends of Tomorrow, which surprises me, because I'm not sure why I'm watching it and why I like it, but I do. And I don't know if you guys have checked it out. The dialogue is pretty bad, and the storyline is pretty convenient, and Arthur Darvill is like Doctor, he's like a Time Lord, and they're not even hiding how obviously Time Lordy everything he does is. And the characters are weird to me, and I'm not into it, and yet I want to watch it. I'm like so hooked on it. I don't know what it is. It's just so much fun. So I like Legends of Tomorrow. What do you know?
Well, that's good. I actually haven't watched any of it yet. As we've discussed, I'm really bad with TV, and since I stopped doing Hero Hype, I don't have the motivation to like keep up with all of these shows, and there's just so many now.
Yes.
So like, I'm so behind on Supergirl. I'm so behind on like The Flash, and I'm just behind on everything basically. As a blanket rule, I'm really behind. But I did see that, like, just related to that, that Supergirl and The Flash are going to cross over. So, I guess they're finally, which they were hinting at, but then they were also saying like, no, it might be separate because they're on separate channels. It's like, well, but they're the same people, so you know.
Yeah, it's nice that they made that happen.
I mean, I don't know. It's I think maybe my hesitation with Legends of Tomorrow is I'm just a little over all of the crossover from all of these shows, you know? So Legends of Tomorrow is essentially like a crossover mashup spin-off thing. And that's cool. And I love Sarah, so I would like to see more of her. But then I have to catch up on everything. And if I catch up on like Arrow, I have to catch up on The Flash. And now I have to catch up on Supergirl.
I'm
and
not
it's just
caught
so
up
much
on
of a
any
commitment.
Of the other ones. I mean, to be honest with you, I will let you know when I think Legends is like a must watch, because I don't right now.
Yeah,
I don't
do
think
that.
You need to
do
waste
that.
Your time on it. But at like, I'm just, I think it's just because I'm enjoying it so much and there's no pressure on me to like it, because like no one else likes it. and like Arrow and The Flash, they get very like very sanctimonious sometimes, and Legends does that too, but in such an over-the-top way that I'm just sitting there going, there's no way that the writers are taking this seriously, like there's no way. And that's kind of nice. I kind of like that,
because
then you know you're hearing this horrible cliche dialogue and you're like, okay, but they're doing it. I know they're not trying to make this sound good, or I hope they're not trying to make this sound good. And then actually I think that they have this premise that's so out there that that it might actually be just a fun, enjoyable experience. Some of the characters really hook me in. And Victor Garber's on it. I love him. They're in the 70s right now, which is a fun era to sort of get to explore. So, you know, there's a lot of good things to say. It's kind of like, I will not compare this to Agent Carter, but I kind of watch it with the same, like, okay, it's going to be fun. But it's anywhere as good.
It does have Captain Cold, who's like my favorite character from that entire universe, because he has the campiest, most ridiculous dialogue of any of them. Yeah. Wentworth Miller delivers it in just the funniest way. He wears his stupid fur coat hood. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, he throws out these catchphrases, and I'm like, what?
And you're like, how long have you been thinking of that? Like, you just have memorized all of these, don't you? It's just, it's such a performance. He's the most ridiculous character, and that's saying something. Mm-hmm. Like from that whole universe. So I think, you know, I'll probably watch it when it finishes because I have to really commit to a show to watch it week by week. But I am a big fan of the binge watch. Mm-hmm. So I reckon when it's done, when it's closer to the end, I'll catch up.
And then you'll also know, because I have a feeling that the writers know where they're going. Like, I have a feeling they're not treading water. Like, they're legitimately very focused on their main story and on developing these characters. So it's not like, you know, you spend a lot of time setting up the world or anything like that. So by that time, like, we'll also know if it really was just all leading nowhere or if it actually is a complete experience this first season. So that'll be good. It's a smart strategy. Those are all the shows that I watch. What have you been watching, Pam?
So I was originally not going to tune into this, and then I got roped into it because my brother was wanting to watch it. And it's a show called American Crime Story, and it's the People versus O.J. Simpson. So they pretty much took this real life event that happened and, you know, adapted it to television. And the thing really that I guess intrigued me most was that it's got a really good cast. So Cuba Gooding Jr. is playing O.J. Simpson, and then David Schwimmer is playing Rob Kardashian, and Selma Blair is playing Chris Kardashian, and John Travolta is in there. He's playing one of the litigators. So it's just a very interesting and very talented group of people bringing this to life. And I think that what intrigued me most about this was that the O.J. Simpson car chase was one of those things that I remember, like, from very, very young. I remember my parents turning the news on when this was happening, and like vivid memories of seeing this happen live before they turned it off. And they were like, you're too young to watch this, go in the other room and play with your toys. And so I think that I'm interested just to see what they do with it. And then I'd also like to kind of fact check it later and see kind of how they put it together, because, you know, doing a story like this, which is, you know, true crime, it's always interesting to hear about how showrunners go about, you know, researching this and stuff like that. So I would be interested to see like how much of it is factual and where they got the facts and versus how much of it they dramatized for television and stuff. So if you're looking for, you know, something that's dramatic and, you know, compelling on a human level, definitely check it out, because it's got a really good cast. And the first episode's pretty long. It's about 90 minutes, but it definitely kept my attention. So
great. Glad to hear it. I see it's been getting really good reviews. So that's good. Good to hear.
Yeah, I think everybody's just super intrigued because, like I said, it's just one of those news stories that really gripped the nation out here. Mm-hmm. So if people are interested on that factor, and then you have like this stellar cast of people, so it's kind of like, how can I ignore this, you know?
Yeah, awesome.
So
we don't have any hot on Hypable this week, or nothing is hot?
Oh, no, I thought we should just do a shout out to, like, you may have noticed on Hypable that we've kind of done a bit of a revamp in terms of like what we are covering and with the recaps and everything. So actually there's like a whole lot more original content, like the kinds of stories we would usually talk about in Hot on Hypable. There's like, is now kind of the majority of the content. So if you go over and like check out your fandom, instead of just seeing like the recap and kind of the update that the show's going to air, you know, whenever it airs and et cetera, you will see like a whole lot of fun articles about like casting and speculation. And some writers do really fun tease articles, like Mikhail does great ones for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and now Agent Carter, where she like teases things that
have the screeners.
Yeah, things that are going to happen. And yeah, so I wanted to do like a general shout out to all of the fun things, just in case people weren't aware that, you know, that's something that we are doing now. And then also obviously Selena's Gilmore Girls article, because it's the best. So yeah. The end.
Yeah.
Also, I wrote something this week.
Ooh. That none of oh, what? Interested. That's yeah. unheard of.
Actually, I know. I just thought.
Wait, did I write something this week? I'm confused. Oh, you know what? I will. Pam, tell us about your article.
So I, like back in September, I talked about this on here, but I went on a set visit for a book trailer for author Jennifer L. Armentrout's Titan series. And that was really fun looking for a good book to read. I think a lot of people will assume that it's very Percy Jackson-esque because it does deal with pure bloods that are descendants of Olympian gods that live on Earth and stuff. But it's way, way not like Percy Jackson at all. So go over to Hypeable and watch the book trailer and see if that entices you. And if so, then you'll have a fun little new book series to read because it's actually a spinoff series based off of her Covenant series. So it's like fun. 7 months long. Yeah. And that book, the next book in that series comes out at the end of this month. So
sounds
while we're like pimping out our own articles, probably by the time this podcast is up, I'm writing a list of all of the questions the Gilmore Girls revival has to answer. I did one for Harry Potter a few weeks ago, and turns out I have a lot of questions for Gilmore Girls creator. So this is good. Why? What's happening with Melissa McCarthy? That will be on the list. Don't worry. So if you're excited about our Gilmore Girls specials, you might want to check that out and like see if we have your questions or if there are other things, because we'll be talking about all that stuff too when we do our specials. Yay, fun times. I'm basically just turning Hypeable into like a Gilmore Girls website.
Yeah.
Yes. Gilmore Girls on Hypeable is what's happening.
So great. So you can find all that on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. Wrapping up the show with some listener feedback, we're going to try to rush through this very quickly. So Pam, do you want to take the email from Sam because your names rhyme?
Sure. That's exciting. So Sam says, hi, I just want to say I love your show and I've been listening since the beginning. I've been busy recently and just got around to listening to the Star Wars special. I wanted to bring up a couple of Easter eggs I found as well as an idea of Rey. First, I found an Easter egg in The Force Awakens, which is that Starkiller Base is named after Starkiller, the main protagonist in the video game Star Wars The Force Unleashed and Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2. Another little reference I found that I thought was funny was that Finn, at least I think it was him, and I'm pretty sure it was actually, bumped into the chess table in the Millennium Falcon, causing it to turn on, and then a hurt Chewie perked up. This is a reference to his love of chess, or whatever it's called. It's just similar to chess.
Oh, see, I thought it was a Twilight reference, so I'm very glad to see this.
Ah, there you go. From A New Hope, where he gets distraught when R2 beats him at the game. The last thing I wanted to bring up is that maybe Rey is a child of the Force like Anakin. That is why Anakin's lightsaber called to her, because they are both children of the Force. Sorry for such a long email. Keep it up. You guys are great.
Oh my God. That would be the worst. Like, no offense, but that would be like, because people are like, oh, midichlorians, oh, the prequels, oh, like, could you imagine the backlash to that? I like the thought, though. I don't think anyone's come up with that before. Yeah, but thank you for that. That's some great observations. And the next email from Anna Lee. Marima, do you want to get it?
I mean, are these all about the 100? Because it's just like...
This is about the 100.
I see some tweets, but anyway, okay, this is from Anna Lee. I just finished listening to the recent hype special of The 100. Actually, can I pause? Why is it The 100? Because I called it The 100 in my head.
Right. Like, no, lots of people call it The 100, actually. And like, even when I did a PSA, it was really funny on the special. I was like, and it's called The 100. They've said it's The 100. And then immediately the Krista goes, so when I started watching The 100.
Yeah, because I first heard of it with the book. Like, I read the book before the show came out. And so I just called it The 100. And then the only reason I call it The 100 is because that's what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just adopted that. But I always wondered, like, is this a Selena-ism or, like, is this
actual show thing. And I called it The 100 as well. And it took me a while to get used to calling it The 100. But, yeah, it's just The 100.
Okay. All right, good. I'm glad I've learned that.
And when you watch the show and when you fall in love with the show, then you'll find out why, because they do talk about the 100 is a group of people, so.
Oh, okay. All right. So, sorry, Anna, to interrupt, but I just had to educate myself. So Anna says she immensely enjoyed it. It was great hearing everyone's different opinions on Jasper, Murphy, the ships, the City of Light, etc. And I chuckled at Selena's hopes of Minty happening. I don't know what that is. Is that a ship?
Yeah, it's a ship.
Okay.
Well, I want it to be a ship.
I'm hoping there'll be more lengthy discussions of The 100 in future podcasts to encourage other people to check it out and realize how amazing this show is.
Yeah.
I mean, every show is basically a mini 100 special when Selena's
on. Pretty much.
So.
And I cannot believe neither of you guys, like, you claim, oh, you know, we're still having our group chats. Oh, blah, blah, Gilmore Girls. Do you, either of you watch The 100? No,
you
I don't think
so. You never mentioned The 100 when in our group chat, only on hype, and then I forget about it.
You need to watch it. Oh, my God. But you need to get through the first half of the season.
I was going to say, start making your claims as to why in our group chat, and then I'm sure.
Yeah,
okay. I'm sure there are memes.
Send us like gifs of the cute people, because we like that too.
Okay,
we respond well to that.
Okay, I'll get you on board the Minty ship, which is totally a made up thing, but it's definitely should happen on the show.
I like it. Sounds catchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds fresh.
Yes. Great. And moving on to some of our comments and tweets, Brett Fisher, we had a comment about the Wentworth, which Myra might know. I think it's an Australian show. And Brett Fisher says, guys, get on the Wentworth bandwagon. Wentworth better than Orange is the New Black. So,
is that the prison one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is meant to be good. I haven't seen it, though, unsurprisingly to anyone. It is Australian. I do know this. It's like a remake of... Prisoner, which was like this classic Australian kind of soap opera set in a prison. It's like the modern version of that, I think. I've heard good things, but like as we know, I don't watch TV. So. Yeah.
And well, thank you so much. We have so many recommendations for this. One of us should consider checking it out. I nominate Kyle.
Kyle's a big fan. Yes. Did you want me to get this for next time?
Yes, please.
Yeah, this is from Allison, who left a comment on our last episode. Allison says, Selena, I'm really excited to hear what you think about Red Rising. Have you talked about that yet?
I have read exactly 10 pages, so I will let
all
you
right.
know.
Maybe next week. Allison says, I watched Grease live last night, and I thought it was really incredible. Personally, I think it's the best live TV musical out of the bunch that I have been put on. I think the entire cast was amazing. I don't think there was a weak link singing or acting wise. Direction was perfect by Thomas Kail, director of Hamilton. Yes, I beat you to that, Allison, not to brag or anything. The choreography was fun and felt really fresh, and I thought the camera work was outstanding. It was a really fun, nostalgic experience, and I really think it raised the bar for future live musicals. 100% agree. Great cool. summary.
And some of our tweets, Pam, do you want to...
Sure. You can hear me, right?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear
Sorry. You. Sorry, I couldn't tell because my computer froze for a sec. So Geek Freak says, that's the name, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I saw the name and then I saw the handle. I got a little confused. Geek Freak says, so I started The 100 on Thursday and I'm already halfway through season 2. Help, I can't get out.
Why would you want to get out? This is when it gets really good. Just get in it and stay there. And then listen to our special when you're all caught up. Let us know if you've caught up by the time you hear this, Geek Freak. And I'm so glad that I'm spreading the word about this amazing show. And our next tweet comes from Jess Bagtas, who says, Pottermore has lost $9 million and is laying off 25% of employees. Thoughts? So this was kind of ish meant to be a discussion topic, but we didn't really have time to look at it. But she did send a link to this article basically saying, despite, you know, J.K. Rowling and her lawyers sort of claiming that it's been a really good venture, it's not making as much money, basically, as it should be. And part of the reason for that is because Pottermore was launched as this way that Rowling could cut out the middleman and basically sell her audiobooks straight to the consumers. The ebooks straight to the consumers. But as the article notes... published books, like print books, is kind of making a renaissance, which I wasn't really aware of, but I guess that's kind of true. Like, people are buying more printed books now, so ebooks aren't taking off as much as the people who made Pottermore originally assumed that they would, and their partnership with Sony, I think, is coming to an end, which is part of the reason why they did that whole restructuring thing. It's very sad that they're laying off 25% of employees, because I guess that cuts our chances of being the next Pottermore correspondent. But, you know, any thoughts on this?
I hadn't heard about this, but I think I would like to read the article first and then think about it. So maybe I'll be on Twitter or something. I don't know.
Cool.
Well, maybe next week.
Yeah. And Olivia Cantrell, Marima, do you want to get it?
Sure. Olivia says, so hype, I need some help here. Just started watching Arrow and can't tell if Laurel is great or unbearable. And she's on season one, episode three. Laurel is definitely unbearable.
Laurel is the best later.
Laurel is unbearable at the beginning because the writers don't know what to do with her. But once they sort that out, she gets pretty great, actually. So just stick with it and yeah. It'll be fine. The writers at the start are trying to really push her into something that, like, is just not – it's like trying to make Fetch happen, you know? It's like, it's just not going to happen. Stop trying to make this happen. But once they kind of get off that and they change the direction for her character a lot based on, like, the audience response, then, yeah, it she gets a lot better and it's a lot more enjoyable to watch. Would be my thought. I don't know if you agree.
I totally 100% agree. And I think it's kind of funny because we've at some other point, I think we were talking about Buffy and I was saying how like I don't judge the character for bad writing. And I kind of feel like it was the same with Arrow. Mm-hmm. Like I saw what the actress was trying to do. I saw what the character was trying to be. And then some crappy storyline or dialogue was like, oh, well, Laurel, you have to go over here and do this stupid thing or whatever. So they were trying to make her unlikable at one point, which I just thought was completely ridiculous. But again, yeah, I still liked her. And I kind of empathized with her because I was like, when the character has the writers against them, like, what hope do they have? But then now they're doing something really cool with her. And she's probably, if not my favorite, she's at least up there as one of my favorites just because of the journey she's had. I feel like she's really earned her place in the narrative at this point. So yeah, I would say keep watching, and if you don't like her, that's fine. Just keep an open mind because it does change. She does go through a development. And our final comment from Shauna, Pam?
Yes, Shauna says, I just watched the first episode of Gilmore Girls, and I learned that Lorelai is my soulmate. # addicted. This pleases Ooh. Us.
This pleases us greatly. You can say.
See your fingers rubbing together. This pleases us.
Oh, yes. The Lorelai is the best.
I'm she expecting some emails from you, Shauna, with your thoughts on like the rest of the season as you watch.
I wonder if I'll be more of a Rory or a Lorelai fan.
It's very easy to be both, actually, because they're kind of like... You think
you're definitely more of a Laurel. Okay. It is.
It's very easy to be bold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you will learn this, young grasshopper.
Yes. Would be really funny if we did the first episode and I was just like, actually. No, I thought this was a stupid show and the characters were really dumb and the writing wasn't great. And oh my God, like those 2000 effects.
The good news is you have to watch the entire season, so you won't just be able to judge off like one or two episodes.
Yeah. You don't judge things off the pilot here.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have to watch the whole thing, and by the end of it, you'll be like, guys, this is the best thing. Why have I not had this in my life? And if you don't say that, you won't be allowed on the show. So those are your choices.
So easy. Very easy. Okay, so that wraps up our comments and our show for this week. We thank you for taking this time with us to catch up on all the latest entertainment news, and we hope that if you haven't yet, you will subscribe to us on iTunes to get the episodes straight to your phone or listening device when they come out. And you can also, of course, download the episodes from hypable.com, which is hypable.com. This is also where you can leave your comments for us in the podcast post. You can email us hype@hypable.com, and you can find us on Twitter @HypableHype. So have a great week, everyone, and we will be back next week for more news and discussion. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Arma.
Yeah, you are.
Yay. Bye.
Bye, guys. Goodbye.